It's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas, as always, taking you through a Wednesday. And a little bit later on tonight, we're going to have Cleveland Indians baseball for you, the Tribe wrapping up their three-game series with the Seattle Mariners. And we're going to get back into some golf talk now. How are we going to do that? We're going to bring in a voice many of you are familiar with. Chad Meyer, who, of course, does high school football coverage for us here on AM 930 WEOL. Why are we talking golf with Chad? Well, because he was there in Augusta at the Masters for the entire tournament last weekend. Chad, how are you, my friend?
I am fantastic, sir. Bull, how about yourself?
So far, so good, my friend. We appreciate the time. And, you know, I want to get into a number of different aspects of why you were at the Masters. You, of course, were filming, and you were telling me before we came on the air that you were actually filming the 12th hole on Thursday and Friday, and then you were on 11 on Saturday and Sunday. So you kind of had the picturesque sights of Amen Corner. Had to be a lot of fun for you. So for those of us who have never been to the Masters down in Augusta, what was that experience like?
You know what? It was incredible. Video, what you see on TV, doesn't do anywhere near that course justice that it does, Bull. I mean, it's for how bright and how lush it seems on TV when you're there. It's like it's very hard to explain. It's like the greens just seem greener, the flowers by the bushes, you know, seem whiter or pinker or whatever color it is. And it's just, you feel like as soon as you step on to that course, you almost feel, I know it's going to sound weird, but exclusive. Like, it's just, you feel like you're in some sort of fairy tale land, because everything is just so perfect and immaculate around there that you can't find anything wrong with it. It's just, I know it's very hard for me to put into words, but that's the best thing I can tell you, is whatever you see on TV, if you're there live, just magnify it 10 times.
So you've now covered the Masters and the Super Bowl, two terrific events, and those are two events that are certainly on the bucket list of folks all over the place. But how would you compare the two? Did you enjoy one over the other? I mean, you worked both, so it's a little bit different. You're kind of looking at it through a slightly different perspective. But how would you compare the two, and would you say one was better than the other?
I wouldn't say one was better than the other, because both of them are very they're basically the grandeur of their sports. You know, I'm not a huge golf fan. I don't watch a ton of golf, but I've always watched the Masters, so I've always wondered what it would be like, because pretty much, I mean, I know there's four major championships in golf, but that's pretty much the Super Bowl of them all, as far as the scene, the hype of it goes. And it's two totally different worlds, because you feel the energy and you feel the atmosphere in the Super Bowl. I mean, you feel the sense of the crowd gets you going. Everybody's cheering and chanting around. When you get to the Masters, there's a huge crowd. There's definitely a huge crowd, but it's more, you almost feel like, you know, your shoulders straighten up. You're walking with a good posture, because you feel like you have to be proper around there, because everything about that course just feels so classy about it. It's just, and it's quieter, because obviously, I mean, you don't want to interrupt any golfers. It's a totally different vibe, but with the same grandeur of the event, if that makes any sense.
You mentioned the food, my man, and I saw some tweets throughout the week and into the weekend about just how incredibly cheap those prices were, and I thought, boy, that's fascinating, for, as you described it, really the Super Bowl of golf. You sent me a picture of something you had over the weekend called the Georgia Peach. What was this thing?
Oh, my God. Bull, anytime that I visit a different city and I hear the words, you can only get this here, I mean, without any question, no questions asked, I'm getting it. I'm absolutely getting it. It's what it is. It's peach ice cream in between two homemade giant sugar cookies. And it was delicious. I mean, it was an ice cream sandwich with different flavored ice cream in it, because you don't typically see peach ice cream in an ice cream sandwich, but the fact that it was just Augusta's and it was exclusive to Augusta's made it taste different.
Yeah, and that's, you were telling me about that. I thought, God, that's weird. You don't really associate going to watch a golf match with, you know, eating an ice cream sandwich. That just seems so far out of left field. But I thought that was fascinating. And, you know, Chad sent me the picture. I thought, God, that looks good. I could certainly go for one of those right now. Again, Chad Meyer joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Chad was there at the Masters over the weekend. And, you know, I would imagine there is at least a little bit of a shift in momentum and in feeling going from Thursday to Friday to Saturday to Sunday. You know, what we witnessed over the weekend was certainly history. But can you give us an idea as to just how much of a change in feeling and momentum there was going from one day to the next?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first two rounds there are actually kind of a little bit more mellow. I mean, you actually see people having those, you know, year-long passes or season passes leaving the course, because the first two rounds, everybody's just trying to qualify. But come Saturday and Sunday, when everybody's making their push to up the leaderboard, it's definitely more intense. People are there early in the morning, setting up their chairs at the 18th green, setting up their chairs at Amen Corner, right, wanting to be there so they don't miss any of the action. And the cheers get louder when putts are made or when good shots are made, and it's definitely a different vibe. The first two rounds, don't get me wrong, are great. You see a whole bunch of your different favorite golfers, but once it gets down to that Saturday and Sunday, and that push, and that, and it gets a little bit more intense, and guys are, you know, as Phil Mickelson put it, he's going to hit bombs. he was going to hit bombs. It was more exciting. It was definitely a more exciting atmosphere.
Not quite sure that you could have drawn up a more exciting finish or an exciting final day back on Sunday. And it's incredible, too, Chad, how things change. And, you know, being a part of live sporting events for as many years as you have, you know that that's just kind of what you have to do. You've got to roll with the punches. At what point did you find out on Saturday that the script was going to be flipped a little bit and you guys were going to have to get out there very, very early because of the potential threat of some rain later on Sunday afternoon, which ultimately just altered the course of everything we saw on the final day?
Oh, that night, that Saturday night, you know, we got an email sent out to us from the crew leaders saying, you know, be here early. We're going to have to, you know, bag cameras and make sure all the equipment is ready for its rain gear. And so, yeah, it was definitely some long days, but totally worth it because obviously history was made.
Well, and let's get into that charge that was made by Tiger. And the back nine, you know, certainly he turned back into the Tiger of old. Not that he had shot poorly prior to that, but you had mentioned to us that you were right there at Amen Corner and you were filming hole 11 over the course of the weekend. Now, on 12, that's where everything effectively changed. So you're shooting the 11th hole, and at the time, Francesco Molinari is still clearly in the driver's seat. Did you get the sense that something might be coming on that very next hole?
No, not at all, because he had been confident the entire weekend. Golf is 90% mental. As well, it's all in your head. Yeah, I mean, and when you do that, you got to read someone's body language, because you know when you're a professional athlete, if you're making mistakes, if your confidence level is low, you can't show that. You can't outwardly show that. And nothing about Molinari's body language really suggested to me that a collapse was coming or that he was nervous. It looked like he was on cruise control, ready to go win the green jacket. And sure enough, you know, after 12. It all went downhill from there for him.
Yeah, and it went downhill quickly. Almost as soon as he wrapped up the hole that you were filming, that very next shot, everything went downhill for him. So you and I were talking about this before you came on the year. You know, you get done shooting the 11th hole, and then, of course, you know, that was the last group to tee off. So they pass, they go to the 12th tee. How does your day change at that point? Because obviously nobody else is shooting on that hole in that tournament, but how do things change? At what point were you given the opportunity to go and watch the rest of this tournament, or were you given that opportunity?
Yeah. I was definitely able to get that opportunity. So when that last group passes our hole, and sometimes depending on the director, because I told you we have a different director every day, so they may want us to stay around stick around and give them some beauty shots, what they call in the business. Sorry, get the business terms in here for you, but and get beauty shots for when they go to commercial break or come back from commercial break. But when we do get cut from cameras, as soon as I'm all done packing up what I need to pack up and getting it, putting it away, yeah, I could go watch the rest of the tournament if I wanted to. And sure enough, that Sunday, as soon as Tiger hit the 17th tee, I got done with all my stuff, and I'm like, I got to go. I have to witness this. And I was able there. I was standing up on top of the hill in the back watching him on 18 and watched him sink that putt and everybody go nuts. And, yeah, history was made.
So at what point did you think, all right, this is over? Because, you know, as a lot of these things are happening after that last group tees off on the 12th tee, at what point did you realize when you were done wrapping up and you had gone over to 17 to see him tee off, at what point did you realize this is over? These guys are not going to catch him.
I mean, just by the shots Tiger was making. I mean, the shots that he had, I mean, the rest of, on 17 and 18, it was just – it was old Tiger. It was those closeout shots, those long drives, those the accurate short game, the approach shots where he was able to control the ball and pretty much let it have it do whatever he wanted to do. I mean, and that was unlike him over this last 11-year comeback that he was trying to make. Like, he finally, after a long period of time, was the golfer that he once was. And it was a little crazy, because, and I think that's part of what caused the collapse of Molinari, because he sees Tiger coming. I mean, Molinari grew up idolizing Tiger Woods, essentially. So all these kids that were idolizing Tiger knew a legend was coming right up on his heels, and that's where you could see the difference between someone who's won a major before in Tiger, 15 of them now, as opposed to a guy who's trying to get over that hump to win a major.
Watching these guys golf over the last few holes, you know, you never got the impression, I didn't anyways, at least it didn't come off in his body language, I never got the impression that those in that same group with Tiger were ever nervous. I think you certainly feel a little bit of the pressure, but they didn't necessarily show that, at least I didn't think. But with Tiger, you could certainly see the swagger. You could certainly see the confidence. Once he got in the lead, you got the impression he was never going to let up, and I think especially on 18 on the approach shot, they had mentioned that his tee shot after going a little bit to the right, he might have to clear a branch on the approach, and he effectively did that with no problem whatsoever. You know, some guys who haven't been used to that situation before, maybe they panic a little bit, but not Tiger. I mean, did you see that same thing? Like that tee shot, you know, some folks were thinking, uh-oh, it went a little bit to the right, he's going to have to clear a branch. It seemed like at least the atmosphere in Augusta there, nobody ever panicked at all for Tiger.
No, not at all. And, you know, and that's what I was, like I said, I mentioned to you before, that was the difference between Tiger at Augusta this year and Tiger in years past now, when he was trying to basically reinvent himself. Tiger, the Tiger of old and the Tiger at Augusta makes those shots. He's able to recover. He's able to bend that ball around that branch or keep that ball below that branch. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen Tiger in the red, the power color on the final round, when he is going for that, making that push and going for that championship. We got to see that on Sunday.
That was a lot of fun, and I'm sure for you that was a heck of a lot of fun to witness in person. Chad, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. I know you're extraordinarily busy. You were in Augusta on Monday, back here again today, and you've got the Monsters playoff push down at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse this weekend and into next week. So we always appreciate the time, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good, my man.
Thank you very much, Chad. Again, Chad Meyer joining us, giving us his perspective on the Masters. He was there at Augusta for all 4 days this past weekend. We need to get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt and I come back after this on AM 930 WEOL.